Happy New Year, everyone. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited about your theme, New Beginning, a new year, a new beginning. As Christians, there's something wonderful. We can have a new beginning every day, every minute if we want it. But it is great to look forward and to have some vision, to set some goals. I'm encouraged by your goal to go on to maturity. How many of you have set New Year's resolutions? Come on, be honest. How many? Okay, not that many. Not that many. Okay. Maybe you're like the person who said, I just used the ones from last year because they're just as new. Making resolutions can be helpful. They can also be hurtful. Because sometimes we can just say, all right, I'm going to pray for an hour a day. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to stop eating chocolate. I'm going to, you know, and we get to about the 7th of January and then we get discouraged. And then we feel guilty. And then we get demotivated. And what I want to share today is really something that I've set as a resolution. And I haven't set any of those goals. But I want to, this year, grow in faith. I want to be faithful. See, because the Christian life is not about simply our own will, our own effort. It's about understanding that we're pretty pathetic. It's about understanding that we're weak. It's about understanding that all of our, I'm gonna, is not gonna achieve it for us. That we are needy people. And that we need God. And that God is there for us. And that His strength, His blessings are there for those who believe. And so, today I want us, as a foundation for our year, if you like, to have a look at that idea of growing in faith. And the best place to go is John's Gospel. So we're going to look at John's Gospel. Because the purpose of John, what John said, he said, I'm writing this, okay, John chapter 20, if you want to have a look at it. He said, I'm writing this so that you may believe. Let's have a look at John 20, verse 30. And keep your Bibles at John, because that's where we'll be today for a few minutes. So, John chapter 20, beginning of verse 30. Jesus said, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John said, I've written all of this, I've said all of this so that you might come to faith. Faith and belief are the same things. That you may believe that Jesus is who he said he was, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing that you have life in his name. Belief in the Bible is faith. It's faith in Jesus as God's Son. It's not abstract. It's saying, I believe Jesus came, he died for my sins. He was buried 3 days later in Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago. Historically, he rose from the dead. And he did that to take away my sin. And I believe that. And the Bible says, if you believe, you'll receive. It's a gift. It's not about working for it. It's not about becoming a certain way. It's not about making so many resolutions. It's about saying, thank you very much. Wow, I believe. And I want to live by faith. I want to trust because I can't do this. I need God in my life. And when I focus on God and when I'm looking to Him, things work out. Now, they don't always work out great. You go through challenges. All of us go through challenges. That is part of life. There's nowhere in the Bible it says God's going to take that away. In fact, He says He's going to bring it on. But it's how we live on life's terms, how we work through these challenges of life, how we face them. So I want to ask you a question. How do you grow in faith? I want to also ask you another question. What damages your faith? Because there are things that can destroy our faith. I know people who are really very, very faithful, who've been an inspiration to me, and now they've lost their faith. Wow. Do you know what? The same things that help you grow in your faith can damage your faith. The very same things. The same sun that hardens the clay softens the butter. The same challenges of life. First Peter says that your faith is more precious than gold. And it needs to be tested so that it can be proved genuine. James says, count it all joy when you meet trials of every kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must have its full effect, and it will lead to maturity. We want to be mature this year. Be ready for the test. You want to grow in faith? Then look at the challenges. Welcome them, James says. Count it all joy. Bring it on. Whatever you want. Life. Because with God, this can be a victory. The things that look worst can be the best when we look through the eyes of faith. Because God is working for our good in everything. I want us to look in John chapter 4 to verse 6. And I want to whip through this, so we won't be reading very much, but you can read it when you get home. But you know some of these stories, so I'm going to assume that you read your Bible. All right. In John chapter 4, chapter 4 to chapter 6, we have five stories. Jesus interacts with a Samaritan woman, a sinful woman at the well. Then Jesus meets the official guy, the big man whose son is dying. Jesus then speaks to a long-term paralytic, a guy who's been paralyzed for 30-odd years. Jesus then feeds 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fish. And then Jesus walks on the water to his absolutely petrified disciples. In each of these situations, there is an obstacle or an opportunity for faith. In each of your life situations, tomorrow at work, there will be an obstacle or an opportunity for faith. Obstacle opportunity number one, the woman at the well. She's out there, she's on her own, she shouldn't be there. Jesus shouldn't be there. Most Jews don't go through Samaria, because the Samaritans, they were seen as traitors to the Jewish pure cause. And yet Jesus ignored all of that taboo, and he went through, and he was out there. His disciples were off trying to get some food. And this woman comes to the well on her own to avoid the public. But she meets Jesus. Jesus speaks to her. Again, it's not nice for men to speak to women on their own. It wasn't done. Jewish men. And so, a lot of things Jesus just ignores all the political correctness of his age. Good thing to do sometimes. You know, this woman felt like she wasn't good enough. Here's a woman. Jesus offers her living water. He offers all of us living water. And the woman just didn't rate herself. She said, "Who, me? Me? You, a Jew, talking to a Samaritan? Yeah, I'm only a Samaritan. Who, me? You, a man, talking to a woman? Eh." And you know, She just didn't rate herself. Listen to what she said. She said, how can this be? And Jesus replies, if you know the gift of God, if you know the gift of God, then you could accept this. See, she was looking at herself, and she knew what she was like. Jesus revealed it to her. Jesus said, yeah, you're not married. She said, that's right. She said, the man you're living with right now is not your husband. You've been married 5 times before. This is a woman in a mess. You know, when we work with the guys in ODAC, they come into ODAC, they're in a mess. Some of them have been on the street. Some of them have been using drugs or alcohol for a long, long time. And yet, if they could only start believing, and some of them do, thank God, and their lives change. No one's too bad. No one. And I don't know what you think about yourself, but a lot of people don't think enough about themselves. And Jesus says, if you only knew the gift of God, you do mean something. You are worth something. You do count. No, you're not better than anyone else, but you're certainly not worse than anyone else. And for God, everyone is important. And we all matter. There are too many comparisons goes on in our world. And too many comparisons based on stupid materialistic things. And God took this woman and he said, I want to give you living water. And the way Jesus treated her and the way we treat each other is so important. We should treat each other with respect because we're made in the image of God. And that's a fact. And that image has been marred and it's been muddied over and it's been mucked up, but it's still there. And we need to see it. And Jesus saw that in this woman. And she started to believe. Wow. And you know what she did? She went back and she overflowed to everyone else. And because of her belief, a lot of other people believed too. Wow. They saw Jesus and they believed. I can tell you, if you see Jesus, just studied with a guy from India. He didn't have any faith in Jesus. He didn't know Jesus. He was over here. Life started beating him up a little bit. And he had a sister-in-law. His older brother is married to a Christian lady over in India. And she rang him and she said, you need to read the Bible and you need to find a church. Just do it. And he was in Glasgow at the time and he did. He looked on the internet and the first church he found was the Glasgow Church of Christ. And he went along and he's a smart guy. He's an IT fella. So he started reading and he started looking. And he fell in love with Jesus. And his life has changed phenomenally. It's fantastic to see. So, whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, Jesus said, if you know the gift of God, if you will just put your trust in Him, believe, and you can change. Obstacle number two, opportunity number two. You know, health and family problems. Jesus and this official guy, he's a big guy. And he comes to Jesus. And, you know, tragedy, loss, and problems come in our lives. And they come, sadly, often. That is life. And they can cause us to become bitter or better. I love the little book, Mind Change, by Tom Jones. It's still in print. You can still get it. But it's a fantastic little book. Because Tom Jones, not the singer, but the guy in Boston, all right? He was a tennis player, fit, young man, he found out he had multiple sclerosis, now in a wheelchair. And he went through 2 years of depression, really severe depression, because he'd lost his life, basically. He knew he couldn't do what he thought he was going to do. And he came through that, and he started finding faith in God. And he says in this little book, the best thing that ever happened to me was getting multiple sclerosis. Wow. He said, because sometimes we look at life and we say, God, yes, I believe in God. I'm a Christian. But problems. Oh. And he said, what we should be doing is saying, problems, bring them on. But God. You know, this royal official came to Jesus. And Jesus put him off. Jesus played hard to get. He did that sometimes, just to test people's faith. He was testing this man. He said, oh, you people, all you're interested in miracles, go away. The guy didn't go away. The guy said, I don't need a lot. But he persisted, okay. He said, I want you to heal my child. Jesus tests his faith again. He said, I'm not going to come, but you go and he'll be healed. You know what it says about this man? He took Jesus at his word and he went. I'll tell you what, if you want something for this year, just take that little phrase. Take Jesus at his word. Test him. Try it. The trouble with many people is, with Christianity, they've seen the wrong thing. They've seen stained glass windows or cold church seats or, you know, people dressed in suits or doing things that they think, I don't want any of that. I've had it with religion. Jesus is not about religion. If you look at Jesus and you try it, you take him at his word, come back in a year and tell me you've done that and tell me it doesn't work. It does work. This man took Jesus at his word. He believed. And his son was healed. And I know that there are challenges in our lives. Chris has gone through some health challenges. I thank God for it. Because I know for me, when things start going wrong, guess what I do? I look up. When everything's going great, guess what I do? I think I'm okay and I get on with life. And I say, see you later, God. Obstacle number three. Opportunity number three, negative, unfair life situations. Jesus meets this guy. He's been a paralytic. He's been unable to get around for 38 years. Wow. How unfair is that? You know what? Let me tell you something for free. Life is not fair. Now, if you want fair, watch out. I don't want fair. Most of us, if we got fair, we'd either be in prison or we'd been paying off some fines or we'd be doing something other than what we're doing right now. Don't ask for fair. But life is not fair. And, you know, there are drunk drivers who run over people. There are innocent guys on our streets getting stabbed. There's bullying goes on. There's racism that's rife, institutionalized often. It's not fair. And for this man, it wasn't fair. And you can sit there and you can feel sorry for yourself and you can say, it's not fair. But that's not going to change anything. And this man, it seems, was doing that. Because Jesus asked him a very telling question. He said to him, do you want to get well? You'd think his reply would be, yes! But it wasn't. His reply was, I don't have anyone and it's hopeless. Do you want to have a great year as a Christian? Yes! Well, the church is in a mess and it's no good and there's not anything really happening. You know, Jesus can work through even the worst circumstances. and often does. And often does. With Jesus, nothing is hopeless. When we're in a hopeless place, we're on our own. Now let me tell you, without God, be hopeless. Go ahead. Enjoy your self-pity. Wallow in it, because that's all you got. But with God, the obstacles can be an opportunity, because nothing's impossible. I like the film Prince of Egypt. Have you seen it? It's fantastic. I love one of the songs. You can when you believe. All right. You know, we were moving mountains long before, you know, they thought we ever could. You know, there's just a real spirit about that song that I love. And to have that little bit of faith, you don't need a lot of faith. Just believe God is able. There is nothing impossible when we believe. Obstacle number four, opportunity number four. Facing the impossible. Here Jesus is having some fun with his disciples. People are following him. About 5,000 men all sit down. And Jesus says to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people?" Okay, Philip, over to you. Philip thinks in a rational human way. And he basically says, why? Let me think. 8 months' wages. We couldn't even get a rich cracker for everybody. It's not going to work. Impossible. Forget it. Jesus says, get them to sit down and we'll work it out. And everyone was fed. How can we stop the 10.1 million children dying of malnutrition in our world today? How can we fulfill the Great Commission and take the gospel to every creature, to all nations? How can we make a difference in our society, in our schools, in our community? It's impossible on our own. A little bit of faith. God, we need your help. This needs to change. This can change. This will change. Nothing's impossible. Obstacle number five, opportunity number five, fear. Jesus comes to his disciples on the water. They've been in the boat, there's a strong wind. They say on Galilee that weather can change very rapidly, and you can be out there in the calm and all of a sudden a wind can get up and you're in trouble. They've been rowing for 3.5 hours. Galilee's not that big, so they've been kind of battling with the weather. And then all of a sudden they see somebody walking to them on the water. They're probably exhausted and they think, what is this? The Bible says they were terrified. They were scared to death. They were out of their wits. And you know, fear can cripple us. Fear of the unknown. Do you ever spend time going, oh, what if, and I don't know, and tomorrow might, and they think, and this may happen, and I wonder where he is, and I don't know what, and we spend so much energy on things that we have no control over whatsoever. And we often live in fear. Fear of being rejected. Fear of failure. Fear of our health going. So many fears. Jesus simply says, the most repeated command in the Bible, don't be afraid. The answer to fear is not necessarily courage. It's faith. Because, you know what? However hard you try, you're going to die. Yeah. You're going to die. Are you afraid? Jesus came to take away the fear of dying. Because he says, if you will die to yourself, then you will live. I came that you may believe and have life in my name. And you don't need to be afraid of death. And if you're not afraid of death, then what else is there? What's the worst thing that can happen? I go through a bit of pain and I die. That's it. We live in a world where pain avoidance is so paramount for so many people. Pain is okay. Pain is a good teacher. Pain helps you enjoy when you're not in pain. And God doesn't want us to avoid pain. He wants us to be able to face it with faith and work through it. The answer to fear is believe. Jesus says, I have written this that you may believe and have life in my name. John 6:35 says, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never thirst. Do you believe that? If you believe, it's yours. Someone said you can believe, receive, or you can doubt and do without. You know, as you think about the new year, as you think about your goal to go on to maturity, it's not about our own hard work or our own effort. It's about us being able, like these people, to see life as an opportunity to grow rather than as an obstacle. I pray that this year you can have your dreams come true. You can see things go great. You can work through the tough bits, the challenging bits, and that you can grow to know absolutely that God is good all the time. And you can put your faith in Him. God bless.